Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Before we join our live broadcast, let me just tell you how much we appreciate you listening and being a regular listener to God in Our City. Our theme this year for both our church and this broadcast is Jesus First. What a simple thought, keeping Jesus first in all that we say and in all that we do. To keep this in the forefront of your mind, I want to give you a very special gift. I want to give you two bronze Jesus First pins. These pins are designed to wear on your lapel or on your backpack as just a reminder, both personally and publicly, that you want Christ to be first in your life. Please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Somebody is standing by right now, and they'll take your name and address, and they'll send you these pins absolutely free. Again, thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.
Amen. Yeah, you can applaud that. Wow. You may be seated. You know, we talk about there being this amazing power in Jesus' name, and there is. But you know, one of the ways we activate that power, we access that power, is prayer. And not just individual prayer, but corporate prayer. Praying together as God's people. So I'm just going to encourage you. I know you, everyone, how many people are busy in the building? Well, I'm going to encourage you on Friday nights to make a special effort. 8 p.m., it's later. It's Friday. You're going to sleep in the next day. Why not end the week with prayer? There are so many chains that need to be broken, so many things that are a mess in our world, and the only thing that's going to make a difference is prayer and the power of God activated through prayer. So we encourage you to make time to do that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I can't come out as much as I want because I teach Monday and Wednesdays. I've got to have a night home here and there. But we would love to have you out for that. It's a special time. And, you know God's in the building. So we would love to have you for that. Jay, are Friday night's prayer good?
Very good, Pastor.
Very good. Sam, prayer is good Friday night?
I love it.
It's awesome, right? It's awesome. So if you can make the time. Well, I'll say it a different way. Carve the time. It'd be a good thing for all of us. Jay, it's all yours, buddy.
Will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before, yes.
Our King Jesus, amen.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Good, amen. You know, and when times are difficult, we look up, right? If we look around us, we get this, and we know that of late. And when we look to ourselves, we just get so depressed, and there's no way, and there's nowhere to look but to look up, to look forward to the coming of the Lord, the Lion and the Lamb, the one who redeemed us from our sins, from ourselves, and from a world that's passing away.
See was the struggles, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. How long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. I am redeemed. He set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain that I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called and worthy. Made by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, look up. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain that I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I have a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain that I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Set me free. So I'll shake all these heavy chains and wipe away every stain that I'm not who I used to be. No, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I. I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed. Amen.
So let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful today for the redemption that is ours. That, Lord, we are not just saved from our sins sending us to hell. Lord, we can be saved from our sins ruining our lives. Thank you, Lord, so much for that reminder. And, Lord, we thank you so much that every day of our lives we experience forgiveness, strength, encouragement. Lord, thank you that even when we're not where we ought to be, Lord, you are who you ought to be, and you, Lord, can carry us through to wherever we need to go. And Lord, we would pray right now for those families grieving, loss of children, families grieving, loss of other loved ones in Florida, Broward County. Pray that, Lord, they'll feel the embrace that is yours. You'll comfort them. Lord, we pray that beyond that even, Lord, you'll comfort the families that are grieving now in Iran with the loss of over 60 people in an aircraft crash this morning. And those families in Russia, Lord, where a church was broken into today and people were killed. Lord, we are aware we live in difficult times. So our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come. What are you waiting for? our ultimate redemption is with you. Lord, until that time, please help us to more than survive. Help us to thrive. Please watch over and protect our city and our first responders. And Lord, as you do, we'll make sure we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. So we begin a new series today called Thriving as a Believer in an Unbelieving World. I say thriving because it's not God's design that we just survive, we just hold out. But more than that happens, that we thrive, that we grow, that we become all that God wants us to be. And I thought I would show you a clip today from The View from this past week. It's a show appears on, I think, ABC. It just gives you a sense of the world we live in and how people view Christianity. Let's see if we can get this to work. Okay, so I'm going to have to do one little thing here. All right, and now it's going to go over to you. I always love this. It works perfectly everywhere but on live radio. You know what I'm saying? Now it's going to come over. It's going to come over. I'm going to pull it up. And it worked perfect in rehearsals. You know what I mean?
But she's not actually revealing intimate secrets, which to me shows that she's trying to atone for working in the Trump White House.
Oh, I don't think she's trying to atone. I think she's trying to do a book. That's why, you know, that's why every look. You know,
I just think that she's trying to get a new job someplace. She's trying to be accepted back in
Omarosa
in the Trump White House. And now I don't
spilling
know. I actually don't think what she's saying is that interesting.
I think what was interesting is that she said that Jesus tells Mike Pence things to say.
When was she around Mike Pence, though?
Well, obviously she was around him because she knows more a lot more than I think that we all know about Mike Pence. But what I do know about Mike Pence is I went to law school in Indiana. He is a hated figure there, actually. He's not very popular at all. And I think when you have a Mike Pence that now sort of puts this religious veneer on things and calls people values voters, I think we're in a dangerous situation. Look, I'm Catholic. I'm a faithful person. But I don't know that I want my vice president speaking in tongues and having Jesus
thing,
speak
like
to
I
him.
Like I said before,
I don't know if I want
it's
that.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
That's different.
Illness, if I'm not correct, hearing voices.
You know, Joy, as a Christian, that's just par for the course. You talk to Jesus, Jesus talked back. What concerns me is how long is the conversation
but Jesus
with
Jesus? Jesus is telling him to say things.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. You know, if you talking to, you know, because I asked Jesus for a parking space.
Can he talk? My question is, can he talk to Mary Magdalene without his wife in the room?
I don't know. I just think that does when everything is, you are saying Jesus is, I think even in the Bible it says, do all things in moderation. So
did you catch that? So what they're basically communicating to us, very sadly, is if you're into Jesus and you think Jesus is leading you and talking to you and you know, he's your guy, at least one of the individuals on the panel thinks you're crazy. On the other person, Sherry Shepherd tries to save it all by saying we do everything in moderation. So it's okay to be that way, but don't go crazy. And we live in a world that is tolerant of our faith as long as it doesn't affect us, as long as it doesn't make a difference every day in our life. So my goal through our discussion is to help us to understand in a world that is secular how we as believers ought to thrive, or how we can thrive, how we can do more than just, you know, make it, how we can actually really do well. And we're going to cover some important topics over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about change or being someone who's changing. We're going to talk about being someone who's convinced, being cautious, being clear, being confronting, and being committed, all from Peter's last words on the last days, 2 Peter. And our hope is that God will minister to each and every one of us and change us from the inside out, because that's the goal. But the first thing we want to talk about, though, is being connected. Because if you're not connected, none of this matters. If you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, none of this matters. Now, I'm not talking about whether you're religious or not. I'm not talking about whether you got religion or you go to church. What I'm talking about is, do you have Christ? Peter begins his letter saying, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He says he's writing to the ones who've obtained the equal faith to us. They've experienced the same salvation as Peter and the apostles and the other believers of the time. They have Christ. So today, my first question to you is, are you connected to Christ? Do you have Christ as your personal Savior? Have you invited him in your life? Do you know that you have that relationship? And he speaks of here by the means of the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Note the connection of those words, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not saying that there's a God and there's a Savior. It's saying that Jesus is our God and Savior. It points to the deity of Christ. If you want to learn more about that, come up later and ask Chris about Sharpe's rule, Granville Sharpe's rule regarding the definite article. He'll explain it all to you, won't you, Chris? Excellent, right? He gives the standard greeting, grace and peace be multiplied to you through God and Jesus Christ. So are you connected today? If I'm going to thrive in this crazy world that doesn't like Christian faith, it's important that I be a real Christian. I be a real follower of Christ, authentic. I had a very difficult discussion with somebody one time. They wanted to be part of the FDNY. Now, I've had the amazing privilege of being in the FDNY houses really throughout our island. So I kind of know the culture of the firefighter world. And they are an amazing group of people, but they're not an easy group of people. And I said something to this individual, I think it took them back. I said, if you don't have your spiritual walk together, a firehouse will eat you alive. What's true of any firehouse is also true in our world today, whether it's corporate, whether it's, you know, the public sector, no matter what. If you don't have your walk right with God, if you're not where you ought to be, you will be eaten alive. So in addition to being connected, I need to be changing. I need to be changing. The measure of a man's real character, and that's what we're talking about in change, is becoming a person of character, is what he or she would do if they knew they would never be found out. In other words, if it was an absolute secret forever, how would you and I be? Appropriately, this was written by Anonymous. As we begin our talk about this, our discussion about this, please know, first of all, that we have resources for building character in our life, for change. We can be different. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. The divine power means that He has given us an ability. God has given us an ability for life and godliness. And He's called us to glory and virtue. Our Lord did not simply come to be saved from the penalty of our sins, hell. He is saving us or wants to save us from the power of our sin. Now, nobody wants to go to hell. I'm assuming that, right? Do I have that correct in the audience today? There are no people who go, hey, I'd like to go to hell. But what the other thing to understand is that our sins not just send us to hell, but they ruin our lives. They ruin our lives. The dishonesty that can be part of any of our lives destroys us. The anger that can creep up in any of our lives can destroy everything we've ever worked hard for. So it's important that we deal not just with the end product. I'm not going to go to hell, hooray! But He didn't call us just simply to save us from hell. He called us to glory and virtue. He called us to a new type of life. And the way we thrive as believers in an unbelieving world is to strive for that. It also says, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The Greek word here for share or partaker is the word koinos. We get koinonia from it, a fellowship. But we share in the divine nature. We'll never be God, but we can share in God's nature. We can share in God's character. And we've already escaped the wickedness that's in the world. Why should we go back there? Why should we go back there? So I can develop character as I trust in the power of God. That dunamis, I can be a different person. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. God can make us different. I can develop character as I continue in the purpose of God, as I see that this is why God saved me, not just to save me from hell, but to help me become like who? Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 8:29, we have to say this with a deep voice, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What is God's plan for me and you? To be like Jesus Christ. Everything that's happening in my life is pushing me toward that. Every choice that I'm confronted with is pushing me toward this. And I can develop character as I grow in the knowledge of God. You become like what you worship. The more you know God correctly and worship that God, that's what we become like. That's why he will say in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And fourthly, I can develop character as I claim the promises of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, that we can be who we're supposed to be. That's why God gave his word. Psalm 119, verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's not complex. We want a different way, but it's not complex. The book keeps you from sin, or sin keeps you from the book. Ouch. Some of those precious promises are 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Christ, you're what? A new person. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken me, but such is common to man. And God is faithful that with temptation, he will make a way to escape that we can bear it. And then 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You see how that takes care of all of my excuses? I can say, I can't change. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. You don't understand the temptation I'm going through. It would kill a lesser man. There's no temptation taking you, such is common to man. Well, the devil made me do it. What is 1 John? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. With the help of all, or with the hope of helping all of us to become greater people of character, I would like you to take a quiz. All you'll need is a pen, and all you have to do is write numbers, okay? Are you ready? So the quiz will show, are you a person of character or a person who is a character? The honest truth about you and me. Question number one. I'm a believer, and by my words and action, everyone knows it. Please include words and actions here in your thinking. Everyone knows it, give yourself 10 points. My family knows it, give yourself 5 points. I know it, give yourself 2 points. You're thinking about coming out this week, give yourself 0.5 points. Number two, I am known as a person who most often does the right thing. Give yourself 10 points. Who sometimes does the right thing, give yourself 5 points. Who might do the right thing, give yourself 2 points. If you're asking the question, what is the right thing, then, you know, don't give yourself really any points, okay? Next question. I may not be a Bible scholar, but I have learned and retained a good deal about God and his word. If that's true, give 10 points. I have learned and retained some things about God and His Word. Give yourself 5 points. I have learned and retained John 3:16. Give yourself 2 points. And I'm probably being generous there. Next question. Though not perfect, I don't have any habits that dominate me. I don't have many habits that dominate me. I have more than 3 habits that dominate me. If you are involved in 6 to 7 different types of recovery groups, do not give yourself any points at all. When I go through a tough time, you can count on me to get 10 points. You must be able to say, never give up or become discouraged or depressed. Sometimes give up and become discouraged or depressed. Oftentimes give up and become discouraged or depressed. Next, I have a strong desire for God and His priorities, a moderate desire for God and His priorities, that's 5 points, lukewarm desire for God and His priorities, that's 2 points. And then, I am a person who seeks out and blesses other fellow Christians. That's you, 10 points. I am a person who helps and blesses fellow Christians I already know, 5 points. I like to take care of myself and my foreign no more, that's 2 points. And then, when I give to someone of my time or money, I expect the recipient to do nothing really. I'm cool with it. That's 10 points. Thank me and mean it. It's 5 points. At least attempt to pay me back in some way. 2 points. Or I'm a person who goes and gets it from them. 0 points. Now, add up your score. There were 8 questions. You could have a maximum score of 80 points. Your minimum score would be roughly 16. 65 to 80 points. Hey, you're really getting there. 50 to 65 points. God's up to something in you. 35 to 50 points. Not where you want to be. 10 to 35 points, please call the office and make a counseling appointment. So this helps us to kind of look at our character, right? And I want us to note that we have responsibilities for building character into our life. We have the resources, God's promises, God's word, God as a person knowing Him. We have responsibilities. It says in the text that we're looking at, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with what? Love. The quiz questions correlate to this. But it says, give all diligence or make every effort to add, with zeal or haste, add, like someone who's paying for the expenses of a choir, add to your what? Faith. So I should understand that effort needs to be exerted to develop character. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 reminds us, brothers, I do not might consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm willing to work at becoming a person of character. And I should seek to develop specific character qualities. Character is a byproduct. It is produced in the great manufacturer of daily duty. Character happens because I choose every day. And that's what makes habits. That's what makes character. What are the things I'm to add? Faith. Add to your faith, your personal trust in God needed for salvation and also needed for my Christian walk. For my faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without that faith, it's impossible to please God. So it is a starting point. Those who are going to draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And Galatians 2:20 says, I crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me, and the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So every day I need that intimate faith, that intimate trust, that intimate relationship, and I need to add to that faith virtue. That means moral goodness. The quality of life that makes us stand out as excellent. Moral energy. See, in our world right now, it's okay to coast morally. It's okay. You only drink in moderation. You only get drunk 2 or 3 days a week. You're okay. Oh, you're a good person. Moral excellence means I stand out. Not on purpose, but because I love my God. Moral excellence. This would include things like honesty. Perhaps the highest compliment ever paid to me when I worked years ago for a major retailer, my boss said, a customer accused me of lying, and my boss said, David can't lie. He's not allowed to lie. Which is a very nice thing for her to say. What I was trying to say is, what she had said is, God is helping David not lie. But what she was trying to say is it would break all the rules, so I couldn't lie, I guess. But it was a great compliment because I tried not to lie. Virtue. Romans 3:10 reminds us, as is written, none is righteous, no, not one. What is the price for you to lie? What is it they say? A lie is an ever-present help in trouble. When I get in trouble, then I tell a story. Knowledge, correct insight, truth understood and applied. Knowledge, I understand it, I apply it. Colossians 2:3 says that in whom, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm growing in my knowledge of God and His Word and of His Son. Self-control. Ouch. Fortunately, I'd ate the second eclair before I read these verses. Holding oneself in self-restraint. Discipline. See, before we were followers of Christ, we couldn't do that really. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, notice the next phrase, slaves to various passions and pleasures. Our sinful natures told us what to do, and we did it. Having Christ, we have now the ability to have self-control. So when our sin nature says jump, we say no. Perseverance. The ESV says steadfastness. Literally to remain under, being steadfast under pressure. You say, Pastor Dave, I am great. I only fall apart when things get tough. Then you don't have perseverance. All of us can do okay when there's no stress. It's when there's stress, right? James 1, 2-4 has those very painful verses. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, why do you count it joy? Because you like the pain? No. What does it say? For, what happens? You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Then godliness. Sometimes we think that godliness means godlikeness, and that's not what it means. I grew up in a home where we used to say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Godliness means to live reverently, to live in the fear of God, live loyally and obediently to God, to be God-bent. Eusebia is the Greek word for it. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 reminds us, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for what? Godliness. For while training is of some value, bodily training is of some value, godliness is of a value in every way, as it holds promise to the present life and also to the life to come. And then there's that other thought, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is different than love in this regard. It's seeing people who know Christ as your brother and sister and have brotherly affection toward them. The Greek word here you may recognize, Philadelphia, because Philadelphia used to be called the city of brotherly love. That was years ago. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, now concerning brotherly love, Paul to the Thessalonians, you've no need anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. That's brotherly kindness. And a brotherly kind, now, my mother had an amazing saying. I had three younger sisters. All of them are still living, which is somewhat miraculous. And I would gripe to my mother at all times about my younger sisters because they got on my nerves. And my mother would say to me almost without fail, David, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relative, family or relatives. Not everyone in the body of Christ is going to ring your bell. But brotherly kindness says, you know what? I love that person as a brother or sister, and I can choose my friends, but I can't choose my family. I'm going to love them. And then love is self-sacrificial love. It's loving and expecting nothing in return. The Greek word is agape. Colossians 3:14 reminds us, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So this is what it means to be a person of character. Love. What's next? You know, brotherly kindness, steadfastness, you know, self-control, love, you know, faith. What's the second one? Virtue. These are the things that, these eight things ought to be part of my life and yours. That's the goal. What are my rewards for building character in my life? What do I get for it? 1 Peter 8 and 9. For if these things are yours and abound, whoa, you're thriving in this. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. The Greek word here for abound means to have excess. These things should be excess in my life. There should be overflowing brotherly love. There should be overflowing steadfastness, overflowing self-control, overflowing virtue, overthrowing faith, overflowing love. But if I don't have these things, I am akarpas. I am fruitless. I have no qualities. I'm indistinguishable as a Christian. And I'm blind. I'm nearsighted to the point where I can't see. And I have spiritual amnesia. I've forgotten what it's like to be stuck in sin and stuck without hope. I've forgotten that. So if I have these things, reward point number one, I will not be fruitless. I will not be a fruitless individual in my relationship with Christ. Philippians 1, 10, 11 speaks of the fact that verse 11, we're to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I will not be a forgetful individual in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I won't forget how much I've been forgiven. I will know that I have been forgiven, and I need to move in a direction that shows that I am grateful for that. Remember the story of Jesus. He's at a Pharisee's house, and this woman of ill repute is washing his feet. And the Pharisee gets upset with him. Said, you know, he's thinking, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let him or even touch him. And Jesus says to him, you did not anoint my head with oil. She's anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. It's an amazing principle. When you understand how much God has forgiven you, you love him so much. When you don't understand that you've been forgiven a lot, you think you just got, oh, you know, God got a good deal with me. Jesus died for a couple of my sins. You know, that's all it took. Whew. We have forgotten what he has done for us. Well, what are the ramifications for building character in my life? What is its final outcome? 2 Peter 1, 10, 11 says it this way. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these things, you will what? Never fall. See, if I'm continuing to grow as a person of character, what will happen? I won't fall. The world will not overtake me. It will not quench me. It will not squish me. It will not ruin me. For in this way there will be a richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have these things, if you're diligent to have these things, if you hurry and have these things, you won't pateo. You will not trip. You will not experience a reversal or a stumble. The reason why I will reverse in my faith and backslide is because I don't go forward. Because there's no such thing as neutral in the Christian experience. We're always going uphill, and if you're smart, you know, if you put it in neutral, where do you go? Downhill. And I will be sure that this salvation that I say I have, I really have. Because if there's no fruit, it's pretty hard to know you got the real thing. Because life produces fruit. And it says, a way or an entrance will be given you abundantly into the kingdom. Now, I don't think he's saying here that if you don't have these qualities like amazingly, you're not going to heaven. What he's saying to you is, do you want to just kind of sneak in the back door of heaven and go, hey, I'm here? Or you want to go in with rewards, with knowing that, you know, you've fought the fight, you've, you know, finished the course, you've done what you're supposed to do. So number one, I'll be sure of my salvation, my past. Paul actually says to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, see whether you're in the faith, test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail to meet the test? In other words, listen, if there's no change in your life.
Well, once prayed a prayer.
Okay. You prayed a prayer. But did Jesus really come in and change you? I'll be stumble free in my walk. I love this. I'll be stumble free. Ephesians 6:14 reminds us to stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, etc. But I'll stand. Because these things are in my life. Because I'm moving in the right direction. And I'll be supplied for my eternity, my future. 2 Timothy 4:7, 8. What does the Apostle Paul said? I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I mean, do you want a well done by good and faithful servant, or do you want a, well, glad you made it, buddy. It's go over there. What do we want? Well, what are the takeaways from a sermon like this? Number one, I hope you've learned not to come out on a snowy day because I preach these really strong messages. Well, number one, the God connection through Jesus Christ is the connection. If you don't have Christ, that's the first step. Inviting Christ into your life to save you and to give you a new life. Understand that he died for your sin, rose again. You and I cannot get to God apart from him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And invite him into your life. Number two, people of strong character thrive in an unbelieving world. People of weak character don't. When you get saved, wherever you start from, what you must do is build and build. Because it doesn't matter how high you get socially, politically, economically, etc. If you're not a person of character, it's all going to be a mess sooner or later. Churchill, the famous Prime Minister of England, was reported to have said to a socialite woman, "Madam, would you sleep with me for £5 million? The socialite woman said, "My goodness, Mr. Churchill. Well, I suppose. We would have to discuss terms, of course. Churchill then said to her, "Would you sleep with me for £5? The socialite woman said to Churchill, "What kind of woman do you think I am?" Churchill said, "Madam, we've already established that. Now we're haggling about the price." So what's the price? What's the price for me to lie? What's the price for me to set aside my morality? Talk to young people all the time. If I don't sleep with him, I'll lose him. If I don't sleep with her, she'll lose me. She'll let me go. She'll find somebody else. So that's the price. That's the price? What's our price? You're a businessman. Business isn't great. Guy said, "Listen, I got a great deal for you. We're going to do this and this. I'm going to write a bill for this. You're going to get this, and I'm going to take this. And we're going to really do in the city. You got no money coming in. What's the price? Is it worth your integrity?" Your boss says at work, "We got to tell this little story here. If you don't tell the story, we're going to be in trouble." "Yeah, but it's like a huge lie here. We don't tell the story, we're going to be in trouble." "I can't tell the story. If you don't tell the story, you don't have a job." What's the price? What's the price? That's hard. But that's character. And what happens when I don't live up to the standards that I know I'm supposed to live up to? Does God forgive me? Absolutely. That's not the issue. The issue is what it does to you, it does to your testimony, and ultimately does to the Christian witness. And what it does to your soul. I have resources to become a person of character. So I can't ever say I can't do this. I have a responsibility to become a person of character. Being a believer in an unbelieving world is hard. And the world that we live in is harder than the generation before. Because the morality is different. You know, everybody lies, right? Sort of? Failure to grow in character is a sign of a significant spiritual issue, including ingratitude for my salvation or not knowing Christ at all. I must be a person who's growing in character. We will always face temptations. We will always have the opportunity to compromise. And the world will say to us, "Don't be so serious about your faith. If you're going to be in politics, you have to lie. If you're going to be in business, you have to cut along the edges. Everyone's got some sin that dominates them. You know, you sleep around, you ask God's forgiveness. It's part of the where we are today." What needs to happen in all of our lives is this radical transformation that we allow God to do so that we are different people. Because if we don't allow God...
Thanks so much for listening to our program. We hope and pray that the broadcast was a blessing to you. The theme this year for our church and this broadcast is Jesus First. What a simple thought, keeping Jesus first in all that we say and in all that we do. To keep this in the forefront of your mind, I want to give you a very special gift. I want to give you 2 bronze Jesus First pins. These pins are designed to wear on your lapel or on your backpack as just a reminder, both personally and publicly, that you want Christ to be first in your life. Please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Somebody is standing by right now, and they'll take your name and address, and they'll send you these pins absolutely free. Again, thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.
Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.